Good afternoon. We here at University Church hope that this space brings you comfort today. It brings you peace, and it makes you feel home. Dying, Christ destroyed our death. Rising, Christ restored our life. Christ will come again in glory. As in baptism, Jen put on Christ. So in Christ, may Jen, Mom, Grammy, be clothed with glory, here and now, dear friends, we are God's children. But we shall be, has not yet been revealed. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Those who have this hope purify themselves as Christ is pure. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of heaven. Because I live, you shall live also. Friends, we have gathered here to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate the life of Genevieve Thuma. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss. May God grant us grace that in pain we may find comfort, in sorrow, hope, and in death, resurrection. And I'd like all of you to see this beautiful quilt that Jen designed in her favorite colors, and family felt it was the perfect display today of our theme colors. And as we look at this, we can just see, I shouldn't speak for all of us, but I see joy. I see so many things in this colorful quilt. The Lord be with you. And also with you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we praise you for the great company of all those who have finished their course in faith and now rest from their labor. We praise you for those dear to us, whom we name in our hearts before you. Especially we praise you for Jen, whom you have graciously received into your presence. To all of these, grant your peace. Let perpetual light shine upon them and help us so to believe where we have not seen, that your presence may lead us through our years and bring us at last to them, into the joy of your home, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. The family has chosen a few hymns, and the first one is just so fitting. It is Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. It is found in the thick blue book, the United Methodist Hymnal, on page 557. And if you are able, please rise and stand and sing together. This morning we have the pleasure of meeting some of Jen's family, maybe for the first time or again, because each of the grandchildren will be reading scripture or a poem that speaks of Jen's life.
Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Sonnet number 2 from the Autumn Sonnets by May Sarton. If I can let you go as trees let go, their leaves so casually one by one, if I can come to know what they do know, that fall is the release, the consummation. Then fear of time and the uncertain fruit would not distemper the great lucid skies, this strangest autumn, mellow and acute. If I can take the dark with open eyes and call it seasonal, not harsh or strange, for love itself might need a time of sleep and tree-like stand unmoved before the change. Lose what I lose to keep what I can keep, the strong root still alive under the snow. Love well, endure, if I can let you go.
Spring Fragments, an excerpt from a poem by Betsy Scholl. Dogwood blossoms, lovely and full, how endangered they are. The forsythia shines as if laughing to think it could ever fall into the matronly hedge of summer. The japonica's last buds just opened this morning, and already they tremble. Apple and plum alone embrace every change as if they had mothers who prepared them well, from a gnarled wisdom teaching there is a fruit that comes when our first skirts are soiled and fallen away. I translate from the dreams of old women, drifting through lavender forests, climbing with ease the yellow mountains, where you can lie down, lost in forsythia. Coming to the end of spring, my grandmother kicks off her shoes, steps out of her faltering body.
The following is a poem from an unknown author. You can shed tears that she is gone, or you can smile because she has lived. You can close your eyes and pray that she'll come back, or you can open your eyes and see all she's left. Your heart can be empty because you can't see her, or you can be full of the love you shared. You can turn your back on tomorrow and live yesterday, or you can be happy for tomorrow because of yesterday. You can remember her and only that she's gone, or you can cherish her memory and let it live on. You can cry and close your mind, be empty and turn your back, or you can do what she'd want. Smile, open your eyes, love, and go on.
First Corinthians chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. So faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
We'd like to take a few minutes and open up the group for remembrances. And Holly is going to start with a memory or something that she would like to say, and know that anyone else is welcome to come up after Holly and share a memory or share whatever you'd like. If you're unable to come up, please just wave your hand, and I have another microphone I can bring to you to speak from your seat. So. This is just a reflection on my mother's life. I'd like to call it the rooms of my mother's life. About 2 weeks ago, when they moved her into the rehab center, the social worker came in and asked my mother how she would describe herself. She was having a lot of trouble breathing and had a hard time talking, and when the social worker saw her struggling, she turned to me and said, "How would you describe your mother?" And three words came out of my mouth: active, colorful, fierce. Active, colorful, and yes, fierce. She loved life, and she did not let go of it easily, let me tell you. The flesh was indeed weak, but the spirit, fiercely strong. My mother lived life on her own terms. She was very blessed in many, many ways, but she made all of her dreams into realities. I'm kind of in awe of that when I think about it. And when I think about my mother's life, I think there are 7 dreams come true. 1, marriage. She was married 68 years to a man who adored her and whom she adored. She often called him the wind under her wings. She said he gave her the confidence to do the things she wanted to do in this life, and there were so many things she did. I could keep you here all afternoon if I went through that, but I won't. I'll try to be brief. Family, number 2. She raised her family, lost 1 baby and brought up 2. She adored her children. She adored her grandchildren. She thought we were all absolutely perfect, especially if we obeyed her freely, vociferously, and generously given advice on just about everything. But even when we didn't, which was, of course, quite often, because being her daughters, we also had our own ideas. Even when we didn't, she still thought we were perfect, and she bragged about us quite often. She bragged about Judy. She bragged about me. She bragged about all of you grandchildren. She bragged about our husbands, though I have to tell you, they had a rough road to travel in proving to her that they were good enough for her daughters. But they did. And they won her over, and she bragged about them too. Travel, number 3. She wanted to travel, and she dragged my father all over the world. Most of the time, he enjoyed this. They traveled with their lifelong friends, Gloria and Al, who they met at the United Methodist Church in Schenectady when they were very, very young. That brings us to friends and community. She had many wonderful friends, and it's so great to see so many of you here. Thank you so much for coming. Jen and Ted had lots of couple friends, but Jen also had lots of wonderful women friends, and she was active in so many organizations. Just 3 I'll mention were, of course, this amazing church, her Koinonia group, or K group, her PEO sisters, and that's just the short list. 5, learning and education. Though she only went to college for 1 year, she loved learning and took many classes. She took us to church retreats and studied spirituality in many forms. She loved the arts, and she took us everywhere: theater, ballet, opera, museums. And 6, home. She loved to entertain, and she made a beautiful home. Which takes us to her career, number 7. Interior design was her passion, and she made a career for herself at a time when society did not expect women to work. She went back to school and had a career as an interior designer. In my mother's house, when I was a child, there was a beautiful room where we were not allowed to play or mess up. There was clutter and chaos in almost every other room. My dad used to say, "There is not a flat surface in this house that's not covered with paper." But not in the living room. We had Christmas and holidays and entertained in the living room, but generally speaking, we did not actually live in the living room. The living room. The living
Room. Beautiful. Color. Order. Grace and peace. Everything arranged on the mantel and on the walls, just so. I used to love to sneak in there and lie on the floor and just think in that space, that ordered space in the midst of the chaos of life. My mother's life's work was designing rooms. And when I listened to her voice in my memory, when I really listened to her voice in my memory, and I hear her talking about her work and her design, whenever she spoke about it, it was about creating a space that welcomed people, colors that gave joy and comfort. It was about arranging furniture so that people could engage easily and comfortably in conversation. Her life's work was about creating rooms of beauty, harmony, comfort. Living rooms, ordered and lovely in the midst of the chaos that is this life here on Earth. So, 7 dreams come true. 7 rooms, if you will. Marriage, family, travel, friends, learning and arts, home and career. All the rooms of my mother's life were filled with activity. All the rooms of my mother's life were wildly colorful and filled with wonderful people. All the rooms of my mother's life were fiercely loved and fiercely lived in with great love and care. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Holly. That was beautiful. Would anyone else like to come and share a memory or a thought or anything?
Sometimes it's hard to be a friend. Jen had many, and I'm so glad that I was one of them. We came to know each other later in our lives, when the pressures of the earliest years didn't exist. Jen had style. She loved her family. I know I'm repeating what Judy said, but this is what she said to me. She loved her family deeply and was very proud of each and every one of you. We shared that, our love of family. Jen was strong-willed and a little bit stubborn. But she always had a kind word for everybody. I never, ever heard her say a bad word about anybody. I never heard her complain, even when I knew she was hurting. Sometimes it's hard to be a friend. Friendship must be nourished. It has to be watered and fed like a very delicate plant. Sometimes it's hard to be a friend. There is a need to be honest without ever being cruel. There's a need to say what must be said without ever hurting any feelings. Sometimes it's necessary to just hold hands and be quiet. Friendship is a give and take, a joy and a sorrow. But above all, friendship is shared love. It's a special blessing that Jen gave to me to be my friend. Sometimes it's hard to be a friend. Saying goodbye is the hardest part.
Jen was fun. We moved here in 69, became acquainted shortly thereafter, went on church retreats, got to know the kids, joined a Koinonia group with her in 72, I beg your pardon. In 95, Ed and I took the Koinonia group to Amsterdam and the Netherlands. Ted didn't want to go, so he stayed home. One couple was on their honeymoon. The rest of us, all of us, were having a grand time. Several of us had adult children accompanying us. And it was a fun time. She loved to shop. She was careful about what she bought. But we would be going down the streets in Amsterdam through a neighborhood, walking to a venue that we were going to see. And we'd turn around and look behind. And two blocks back would be Jen and our daughter looking in all the windows. Oh, I like that. Oh, we got to come back for this. And the two of them had to buy an extra suitcase to come home. In later years, we went to Syracuse Stage together. And when it became more and more difficult for Ted, we finally had to switch to Sunday afternoon and then stop altogether. But it's been a long and enriching friendship, and I will miss her greatly.
We are the ones, this present husband and I, who were on our honeymoon with the K group that she mentioned. And that was a wonderful experience too, because I had had a husband who had lived wonderfully long, 45 years with me, and I was devastated when he died. And he said to me, "You can't live alone, Joanne. You have to have a mate. And I said, "Who on earth would want me?" And he said, "Well, I'll tell you. I have a number of Rotary friends. I have other friends. You have a lot of church friends. I'll just suggest some names." And he suggested one name, only one that I was interested in. And eventually, I married him. It took him a little while to get around to asking me to do it. He wasn't sure he wanted me, and I can understand why. But it still was wonderful. So I always have given Jen and her husband a bit of credit for mixing up what I had in the wonderful traditional marriage and suddenly letting me know that I didn't have to stop there. I could go on and have a second wonderful marriage. And so that's what I am, married to Dr. Yarwood, and have had a marvelous. We are now living in the lower floors of his office in Liverpool. We're very happy. We're not terribly comfortable every time, but that's all right. The main thing I want to say is Jen has always been an inspiration. The K group has been wonderful. And if any of you have a chance to join a group, any group that has a connection to the church, do, because that'll be the best thing that could happen to you. I'm so glad to be able to see all of you here today. And thank you so much for letting me talk to you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to... Oh, you would, okay. That's okay. Would you like to stand up there? Okay.
I'm not really sure what I'm going to say. I'm not prepared to say anything, having only arrived about an hour before the funeral began. But, I'm a son-in-law. I joined the family about 35 years ago. And coming into this church just evoked a lot of different memories for me. I think one of the first times I was ever acquainted with Jen was attending one of the Christmas children pageants, one of the many that she directed. We did that several years in a row at Christmas time. Right here. So, also, I would like to say that on behalf of the family, I think I can take the liberty to say that how very grateful we are for the care that three women in particular, Patty, Becky, and Kathy, provided Jen and her husband Ted for the last 5 years of their lives. Not only were convinced lengthening their lives, but providing them a quality of care that we couldn't have improved on ourselves. That was one thing I wanted to say. The other thing I wanted to say was, this quilt, I didn't know anything about it. These colors, these flowers, just remind me so much of Jen. Two or three things I could think of, if I had to use three words, would be the flowers, the birds, these colors. Two in particular, this turquoise border and the purple that's everywhere. You may have noticed that those of us in the family are wearing some shade of purple. This was not planned. For 35 years of my time with this family, at every Christmas and every birthday, I got something that was some shade of purple or lavender or turquoise. Sometimes on the same garment. These are the only clothes I own, are purple and turquoise. Turquoise, to me, I'm thinking these colors, reminds me of the sea and how much she loved to travel and how many carousels of slides we saw of travels that she and Ted took from all over the world. I hear some of you laughing. You sat and looked at them too. Always wonderfully colorful pictures. And purple, about all I know about the color purple is that for centuries it's been associated with royalty. If you haven't noticed, the ink on the bulletin is purple. The tiles in our bathroom are purple. And then these two hymns. I'm only saying this because I had nothing to do with this. I'm not taking any credit for this. But the one we're singing at the end is just too wonderful. And the name of the tune is Royal Oak. And the first one we sang, and the last thing I'm going to say, was arranged by a man named Lowell Mason. Lowell, very close to the part of Western Massachusetts where Jen was born and raised. And Blessed Be the Tie That Binds, a song I'm sure she would associate with church, but also with another place she loved to go, the theater. It's a tune prominently featured in a play she loved, Our Town, and also about a place in the part of the country, New England, where she came from. I don't know about you, But when I sing hymns in church, I'm always so busy trying to keep up with the tune or the melody or the harmony that I miss the words. Blessed be the tie that binds, verse 4. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain. But we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again.
I'm not half so prepared as my sister, who did that wonderful speech, I guess you call it, remembrance. But there's something that I wanted to share that I think is really important about my parents, but my mom, I think, especially. When I was a teenager, I can remember coming home and my friends are all going to go do this. Can I go too? Can I do that, Mom? And she wouldn't answer. She usually had her back to me because she was busy cooking or doing dishes or something like that. And I would go, Mom. She would go, I'm thinking. And she was, that to me, that she was very deliberate about being a mom and raising her children and what we could do. And it was important to think about, she wanted to say yes, but maybe she shouldn't say yes. Maybe it's not something that was in her value system to have her children doing. And I want our children to remember that she taught us, Holly and me, how to be human. How to live our lives. And we are sharing that. We have always shared that with you. And that's the most important legacy you can have, because I think that you will go on and you will share that with your children in the future too. She was fond of a Bible verse that said, the sins of the sons are visited on the seventh son of the seventh sons. Well, I hope there aren't too many of those sins. I hope it's good stuff too. So I want you to remember that. And all of you can use it too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all for sharing. God puts people into our lives to grow closer to God. Our purpose is to love one another and grow closer to God. Jen was a living example of this, and in doing so, shared with us how to grow closer to God. This is not an end, but the beginning of a new chapter. Jen lives on through our memories, and this is not a goodbye, but until we meet again. Almighty God, your hands we commend, into your hands we commend your daughter, Jen. And in sure and certain hope of resurrection to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Will you pray with me? God of us all, your love never ends. When all else fails, you are still God. We pray to you for one another in our need, and for all, anywhere, who mourn with us this day. To those who doubt, give light. To those who are weak, strength. To all who have sinned, mercy. To all who sorrow, your peace. Keep true in us the love with which we hold one another. In all our ways, we trust you. And to you, with your church on earth and in heaven, we offer honor and glory, now and forever. Amen.
Oh God, all that you have given us is yours. At first you gave us Jen, Mom, Grammy. And now, we give her back to you. God, receive Jen into the arms of your mercy. Raise Jen up with all your people. Receive us also and raise us into a new life. Help us so to love and serve you in this world, that we may enter into your joy in the world to come. Amen. God of love, we thank you for all with which you have blessed us, even to this day, for the gift of joy in days of health and in strength, and for the gifts of your abiding presence and promise in the days of pain and grief. We praise you for home and for friends, and for our baptism and place in your church with all you have who have faithfully lived and died. Above all else, we thank you for Jesus, who knew our griefs, who died our death, and rose for our sake, and who lives and prays for us. And let us say together the prayer that we were taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we come to our final hymn, which is, as you said, Larry, so fitting. All things bright and beautiful, and as you sing this or hum this and look at the words in one more time in a new light. If you are able, please stand with us and sing. All Things Bright and Beautiful on 147. You'll find those in the big, thick blue book, the United Methodist Hymnal. seated. At the conclusion of the service today, the family would love for people to stay and talk with them. If you could, please exit out these doors, and the whole family will be out there waiting to receive you. And there's, of course, because Jen was such a great hostess, her daughters have thought of everything. There are wonderful snacks in there, and you'll be all set. So please join us after the service. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Go now in peace.